Last night, 11:15 in the evening, I felt prompted to send a Facebook message to a friend of mine whose father's been sick over the last number of weeks, and in fact, the last 2 years he's been sick. And at 11:15, I sent a message to him, and for the last 12 days, his father's had no food, no water, and he's on the edge of heading into eternity. And as I sent that message, it was like the Lord, as I was finishing my study for today and getting ready for this service, it's like the Lord said, reach out and touch his heart, touch his life at this moment. And the young man wrote back to me. He said, we believe that soon the Lord will complete what it is he has done, and he will call our father home. As I read those words, I realized that here was a man who was saying something very powerful. He was trusting beyond his understanding because no one wants their dad to die. No one wants their mom to die. Well, after I woke up this morning at 12:30 in the morning, an hour after we've been dialoguing back and forth about trusting, his dad was called home. Angels arrived and carried his father to the place he had dreamed of, the place he had loved. He went straight to heaven. This guy who was a vivacious and gifted golfer, a director of boys' clubs and girls' clubs, this guy who had invested in the next generation for a whole season of time, his life had ended, but it was just beginning. And for his son and his mother, they grasped something very powerful. They could have spent at that moment a whole season of time trying to understand. Why would a young guy who had more life in front of him, why would the Lord call him home? But they were trusting him beyond their understanding. Today we arrive at a life skill that is the most powerful and most critical of all that we will cover over the entire 10 weeks of this series. It is today that we arrive at a place where we learn to surrender our challenges that we cannot understand to a God who will lead us to trust him beyond our understanding. It is here that we come to the place where we look inside of our own lives, ask ourselves very challenging questions. How do we respond to our issues? If we lose our job, do we keep trusting? If we face a crisis, do we keep trusting? If a relationship falls apart, do we keep trusting? If we find these different things inside of our life, what avenue do we have to go on? Do we go towards trying to understand it and end up frustrated and challenged and overwhelmed, or do we begin to trust? You see, oftentimes in our finite capacity, we believe in some unique way we will ultimately figure out how to fix every problem. I've heard people say to me that I'm in love and I can fix him. What a tragic statement. You ever tried to fix anybody? It's absolutely impossible. But if you trust, God can change anyone. It all comes down to how we look at life. I want to ask you a question today as we dig into what is a very familiar but powerful passage of Scripture. I want to ask you, have you ever had a challenge you didn't understand? You ever had something happen that you just look at life and you go, I don't understand this. I don't know why I'm going through this. Have you ever made a decision that you thought you understood the consequence of it, but in reality, that decision led to all kinds of other pain, difficulty, and heartache? Have you ever faced a challenge you didn't understand? And as a result, you found yourself throwing yourself up, hands up in the air, saying, I don't know how to get where I need to go. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know where the answer comes from. And a second question, how do you reconcile your challenges? In other words, when you face a challenge, how do you reconcile it? How do you take that challenge and say, okay, how am I going to move through this? How am I going to discover how to be who God wants me to be? You see, if you look across this room, here's what you see. You see some folks who've had broken hearts because somebody else's choice. You see some folks because no doing of their own, they lost their jobs and have faced a challenge of trying to figure out how to process through to find that next job. You find people who are sitting in this room who have been through things they never dreamed they would ever go through. From losing a loved one to living through a scenario of health or something that caused them to go, why do I have to live through this? And yet what happens is, by the time we finish today, you will have in your heart at least the capacity to move beyond your circumstances and your challenges and reconcile them completely to trusting a God who knows your name, knows the days of your life, knows everything about what you will face, and who you can absolutely have confidence in that will carry you all the way home. You see, the reality is for each one of us, here's what we discover. Life will sometime present challenges to us that have no answers. But our Lord will always give us an assurance if we trust him that will carry us all the way home. You see, life sometimes throws things at us that we can't grasp. I look back across the span of my own life and think about how many different moments I didn't understand. And as I think about all of them, every one of them either pointed me to trusting the Lord more or leaning on my own understanding. And when you lean on your own understanding, something happens to your detriment. Because you'll discover today as we look at God's Word, we were never designed to understand everything. We were designed to trust in all things. And as we get there, what's going to happen is you're going to get a handle on maybe some circumstance or situation you're facing now, maybe some scenario you have been through in the past, and you look back at it and say, you know, I tried to figure that out and try to figure that out. And the reality is, you never got there. And so as we dig into this, we're going to be at a very familiar passage of Scripture. In fact, most of you may have even heard this verse on numerous occasions throughout your lifetime. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, you trust Him, and He will direct your steps. Proverbs chapter 3 is where we find ourselves today. And if you have your Bible, open to that text. Because in this particular text, here is a father who's writing with great, great passion to his son. Why could he write with such passion? Because, watch this, Solomon has so many turns and corners in which instead of trusting, he leaned on his own understanding. Think about Solomon for a second. Here's a guy, when God asked him, what can I give you? What would you want? He says, give me wisdom. Give me the capacity to judge things, to learn and glean from those things. What is his story, though, when you look at it as it unfolds? Here's a guy who, watch this, at a critical juncture, Solomon decided to base his life on his own understanding. Now, watch the parallel here. He went from 1,000 sacrifices to God to 1,000 wives and concubines. Did he lose his capacity to trust? Absolutely. And he fell instead into the trap of understanding. We have in our day a great capacity to glean intellect, to become smarter and smarter. But watch this carefully. You can be as smart as Einstein and miss the most critical thing in life. Because if you miss this, if you miss the power of this particular text, you will someday look up and go, what happened? And what you discover is as it unfolds, you're going to see something. Because in this passage, there's just a very, very, very powerful application to all of our lives. And we're going to be reading in verse 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 8 of Proverbs chapter 3. And I want you to follow along, and then I'm going to show you something that he does that are so absolutely critical. And if you're familiar with this text, revisit again today with me, because what you're going to see is something may come alive that perhaps has not crossed your mind until today. Begin reading in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Watch this. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. What a very, very powerful text that we look at today. Because here's what we discover. We discover that Solomon understood something that had to be conveyed of great importance to someone he loved. They didn't want him to miss this. He wanted to make sure he understood something, that you've got to keep trusting beyond the things that you try to grasp and understand. We live in a chaotic world with all kinds of things that are impossible to understand. But what we can do is trust Him beyond the issues we face. So let's look at this, and we're going to break it down two verses at a time. First of all, I want you to see in verses 1 and 2, he begins by saying, my son, do not forget. And here's what you see by way of application as we allow this passage to unfold to our lives. We must remember the lessons that we have learned. We must remember what it is that God has taught us. This week I had a chance of conversing with someone who was going through a difficult circumstance, situation, and as we conversed, I heard them quote a statement that I made years ago. And as I heard them quote that statement, I realized something, that what was going on inside of them, they would find their answer in the Lord. Because they clearly acknowledged that we don't doubt in the darkness what God has shown us in the light. And listen carefully, when we treasure what is priceless, we will learn what will ultimately never perish. As we cherish these things, God, he says, don't forget. Don't forget. Grab hold of them. And you see, when you look at this, all of this text is about our ability, our capacity to make application of what it is that God has for our life, what it is he wants to do, what it is that fleshes out our actual spiritual journey that allows us to see him at work in our lives. And today, we see how he addresses our ability. Our ability, he says here, don't forget that these teachings, but let your heart keep my commandment. Because you see, here's what he's showing to each one of us. Our ability to act in wisdom based in the promises of God. If we get this place where all of a sudden we get wise enough to say, Lord, I want your word to speak to me. It will position us to trust him no matter what it is that we encounter. That's why promises are so powerful. He says, don't forget these commandments because they say something to you. They speak to where you are. They allow you to see that beyond what you grasp, there is a bigger picture that God has for all of our lives. You see, no one here would ever know to date that they want someone they love to go home and be the Lord. No one here would ever say, I want to lose my job. No one here would ever say, I want a broken relationship. No one here would ever say that I want these circumstances to turn out to be difficult and negative and overwhelming. No, but yet life does that to us, doesn't it? There are times that we walk through valleys and moments in which we have to get a hold of the fact that there are lessons learned, watch this, on the mountaintop that equip us in the valley to keep on trusting, keep on believing, keep on knowing that he is with us. And it's interesting how these verses unfold because he says, don't forget these things for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. When you look at the word peace there, it has to do with harmony, that all of a sudden that it's brought together a harmony inside of your life. Now, watch this for a second. All of a sudden, I don't forget what it is God said. I start claiming his promises, and all of a sudden, my life cohesively becomes something that is peaceful because I'm able to see that God is with me, that he's guiding me. And I'll tell you what you discover in life. All of us go through circumstances and challenges we don't understand. But what we get out of each one of those is an equipping inside of us that says, I'm going to trust the Lord beyond this circumstance, beyond this challenge. And what you're seeing here, as you look at it, it's interesting how he makes it very simple. Here's what he says to his son. Learn it. Get a hold of this. Learn it. Then he says, you've got to be careful to live it. And that's why he's saying that you've got to carry this forward for a length of days of your life will be there. And then you learn to experience it. You experience the peace that passes understanding. So what do? We learn what it is God has for us. We live it out. And as we're fleshing it out, we begin to experience that we can have a confidence. That when Paul wrote in Philippians that I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. What does it do for us? It gets a hold of us and says, you know what? I can live there believing that whatever circumstance I've been through, I can trust him beyond my understanding. Because listen carefully. So many times in life, we face dynamics that we will not understand on this earth. But as we arrive at a greater level of trust, at a greater level of faith. As the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him. As we arrive at that level of faith, then all of a sudden the math begins to work. And we don't get uptight about what used to cause us to be so anxious. And all of a sudden we begin to trust more. But look on, because in verse 3, it's interesting what he said. He talks about this kindness. Look at it, if you would. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. What is he saying here? It's interesting. He said, don't let kindness leave you. Here's what he's saying. Stay sensitive to the issues of life. Stay sensitive. And here's what Solomon understood, and here's what you and I must grasp. When we go through things we don't understand that grab hold of us and cause us pain or heartache or difficulty, if we are not careful, we'll lose the sensitivity that allows us to be kind and gracious, and we'll see that in a moment. We'll lose the sensitivity to understand how to meet someone at the point of their need. And the Bible is so clear, nothing is brought to us that's more than we can bear. He equips us in the midst of our adversity. To whom much is given, much is required. The Bible speaks over and over again to us being wise enough to apply what it is he says to our life, and that we maintain a sensitivity. Through the years, you discover that oftentimes people will live through experiences, and it will either make them insecure or insensitive, or sometimes even callous. They'll go through something, and they will allow that particular experience to define their future. Listen carefully. No matter what it is that you have lived through, it must not define where you're going. Because what you're going through now, what you have been through, all of those things are equipping stations. We all live through painful dynamics. Anyone here ever made a mistake? Sure you have. Lots of them, haven't you? We make mistakes, don't we? We make mistakes and we go the wrong way and we step the wrong way and we look back and say, I can't believe I did that. Can't believe I went that way. But what you discover is it can't be the definition of who you are. You've got to instead say, Lord, I'm going to learn from that to be who you want me to be. We've got to maintain a sensitivity. And look at how, as he speaks here, he says, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Here's what you discover. Our ability to maintain a sensitive spirit will allow us to focus on the big picture and not get caught up in the minutiae of life. In other words, when we stay sensitive, we can sense the Lord at work no matter what it is we face. We can see him at work. We can trust him. And when our ability to maintain that sensitivity, Lord, speak to my heart. Bless me as I serve you. Keep my heart fixed on what it is you have. It's a sensitivity that allows you, watch this, to forgive and move forward, to grasp and let go. It's what gives us the capacity to understand how to live life. Because listen carefully, any relationship defined by what happened in the past will never have a future. But if we allow those experiences to equip us for the future, then we are maintaining a sensitivity that gives us the capacity to see the big picture. You ever lived through something and you said, I don't know how I ever get past this. I don't know how this moment, I'll ever live beyond this moment. Maybe that you look back across your life, and as I've been preaching, you've been thinking about that moment when you were rejected by someone. And you can remember how distinctive that was. As I've been preaching, you may be thinking about that moment in which you found yourself not experiencing the love that someone else had promised. And all of a sudden, you start realizing that in many ways, you've spent your life trying to understand a circumstance you may never grasp instead of trusting him beyond your circumstance. And that's why these verses are so powerful. Notice a couple of things that he does in this particular verse, verses 3 and 4. The first one, you'll notice in verse 3, he said, do not leave kindness and truth. Don't let them leave you. Not let them go away from your life. But bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. What was he saying here? He wasn't talking about just a tangible part of wearing something that would dress you up, but he was talking about faithfulness. He was talking about making sure that as we were faithful, we would maintain something that inspired us because it would always be a part of our heart. I mean, as you read that part where he says so clearly that you would write them on the tablet of your heart, here's what he's saying. It's a loyalty to our commitment that gives us the ability to trust beyond our understanding. As we are loyal to Jesus, as we entrust our heart to him, something happens inside of us. We understand faithfulness, but we also get inspired. You see, when you're a pastor, you have lots of moments where you could be disappointed. I mean, it's amazing when I think about the difference between understanding and trusting. I can't understand how someone at one point can love Jesus and then walk completely away from him. But I can trust God that he'll ultimately bring that person back home. I can't understand how at one point someone was so committed to what God is up to, and then a circumstance or a situation, I mean, I think about over the last 5 years, how many people have allowed a circumstance or a situation to steal the very direction of their heart and allow that to grab hold of them and move them in a place God never intended for them to be. Listen carefully. He does walk about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He does look for the opportunity. The adversary looks for the opportunity to cause you to become insensitive, to miss the best. And that's why when you look at verse 4, he says so powerfully, so you will find favor and good repute. What's he talking about there? He's talking about grace, watch this, and competence. In other words, what he's conveying here is that when you find this favor, which has to do with grace, that unmerited favor of God. When you find that, then you're maintaining a sensitivity, but you'll also be enveloped with a competence. All of a sudden, you'll recognize something, that if you stay sensitive, you don't have to allow any circumstance to steal your joy. You can keep on trusting. You can keep on believing, keep on knowing, and keep on recognizing that that sensitive spirit gives you the capacity to see the big picture. That's why I tell people, if someone's not walking along the line that you anticipate they should walk in, do not try to grasp to understand everything about their erroneous steps in their journey. Trust God to do what only He can do, because you're not going to change them. But God, who has known them before they were ever formed in their mother's womb, understands how to connect to their heart. And it may come back to how much we're willing to trust to bring them home, to believe the Lord that He would heal what has been broken inside of them. They would find the answer for their life. Let's look on, though, because verses 5 and 6 are those verses that we see significant power in, because they're verses that we have grabbed hold of throughout our lifetime. It's here that Solomon says that we have to trust beyond what we see or understand. We've got to be able to keep on trusting beyond the things that could easily define us, that we see, that we try to understand. And listen carefully, the only time you will come to a complete understanding of all things is when you see Jesus face to face. Until that time, there will be things you don't understand. I don't understand earthquakes. I don't understand tornadoes. I don't understand heartache and death. I don't understand a lot of things that people live through. I don't understand all those things, but here too, I do, though. I do know that I can keep on trusting beyond what I see, beyond what I understand. And look at how he conveys it, because it's here that he talks about our ability to look beyond the immediate issues we're facing right now. I mean, as we look beyond those things, we begin to grasp the real power of trusting. In other words, if I'm able on this Sunday to say in my heart, I don't have to figure all that out. I don't have to know all that. I can keep on trusting. You see, the truth is, there's some people I love that are not doing what they need to be doing. People I care about not doing what they need to be doing. But you know what? I can't understand all that they're choosing. I can't understand the steps that they're taking. But I can trust that the Lord will do what He needs to do. You may be in a home where you don't even understand what your mate's up to. And you may not ever understand, but what you can do is keep on trusting that God will ultimately do what only He can do. Let's look at how this passage unfolds. Because first of all, he said, trust the Lord with all of your heart. And what he's talking about there is that complete trust. And I'd point out to you a couple texts that I really want to make sure you don't miss. Because in Isaiah chapter 55, it's there that he speaks to the whole issue of his ways being above our ways and his thoughts being above our thoughts. And Isaiah was trying to say something to us. And that is, don't spend your life caught up trying to figure out your way. Trust in God's way. Because as you do it, you'll grasp that his thoughts are above your thoughts. And then in Romans chapter 11, it's interesting how Paul speaks to this, because he talks about our Lord and his unsearchable and unfathomable riches, the way in which he works in verses 33 and 34, a powerful reference point for us to realize something, that when he says, trust the Lord with all your heart, what he's really saying is we have to have complete trust. Because in these two verses, he gives us an understanding that incomplete trust will only incapacitate our ability to be able to live life the way God intended. But complete trust will open the door to us being able to know that He does all things well. And you see how important it is that we have complete trust. But then you'll notice what else he says, though. You know, he says, do not trust in what? Do not lean on your own understanding. What is he saying there? The word lean there, when you look at it, carries with it the whole idea of relying on our own ability to fix the issues of life. You ever know anybody who thought they could fix everything? Thought they'd say, I'm sorry one more time and fix it. They say, I love you one more time and fix it. And what are they doing? They're relying on their own ability. They're thinking that, hey, I can get here. Listen carefully. You can't take anybody anywhere. Only God takes you to a place where you're able to walk through forgiveness, where you're able to walk through grace, where you're able to walk through peace. And so what does he say here? Watch this carefully. We all have a defined limitation. There are some things that we don't get and we won't get. And here's what you get out of this passage. in this defined limitation. It is there that Deuteronomy 29:29 comes alive to us. And if you've never read that verse, you ought to mark it, and it ought to be a place where you look back at, because here's what you find in that part of the text. Some things are secret. They belong to God. Other things He has chosen to reveal to His children. You see, there's some things in life we are not going to get, we're not going to grasp, we're not going to understand, but we can continue not to lean on our own understandings. Listen, there are people in this room who have walked through valleys, then they will not understand completely until they see Jesus face to face. If you've walked through the valley of rejection, you've walked through the valley of pain, you've walked through the valley of brokenness, you're not going to understand all of it. But what you can do is see that your that defined limitation, what does it do? It causes you to trust Him more. It causes you to lean on Him more. That's why when you look in Deuteronomy, one of the things that's powerful about that text is powerful. In fact, I was reading through Deuteronomy in preparation for the message last night, and I started noticing things. And just listen to this carefully, just for a second. I want to kind of put this in here about where he says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Listen to what Deuteronomy says in chapter 4, verse 29. You'll find Him if you search for Him with all your heart. In chapter 6, verse 5, if you love Him with all of your heart. Watch this. In chapter 10, verse 12, if you serve Him with all of your heart. In chapter 26, if you're careful to do all the things that He's called on you to do. In chapter 30, verse 2, if you obey Him with all of your heart. What you discover is that every one of these verses are all taking us back to an understanding that it's all of our heart, while experiencing a limitation moves us towards experiencing God's best for our life. But it's the third thing you see here. First of all, we understand that we have the capacity to trust Him completely. Then we have a defined limitation. Look, if you would, though, in verse 6, he says, in all your ways acknowledge Him. That word all there is the key in the verse, because here's what he said. If you do not make Him your ultimate priority, if you let Him be less than your ultimate priority, then you are in big trouble. And let me tell you, I had the privilege of being over encouraging a friend of mine in another part of the country Thursday and Friday, and just encouraging a shepherd of the sheep. And we were talking about what was going on and what's happening in our world. And listen carefully. What happens in our world is, instead of Jesus being the ultimate priority, He is one of many. Because if He's the ultimate priority, nothing keeps us away from Him. Nothing keeps us away from His house. Nothing keeps us from experiencing the best that He has. It's our ultimate priority. And as I conversed with my friend, one of the things that most powerfully came and resonated in my heart and mind as I was listening to him is, listen, we will move no further as a church than all of us allowing Christ to be the ultimate priority of our life. But if He's the ultimate priority, let me tell you what you discover. Nothing can stop us. The gates of hell, the Bible says, cannot prevail against those who let Jesus be high and lifted up. The power of what He's called us to do as a church and a family, what He's brought us together to do. Do you realize how unique it is that we're all together? Do you realize what God has done? You know what? It all goes back to us keeping Him as our ultimate priority. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And what does He say? Then He'll make your path straight. He'll direct your steps. Look at that last part of verse 6. He will cause your steps to be able and your path to be very straight. What is He saying here? He's really saying to each one of us that God gives us directed steps. That there are steps that are that that and when you look at the Bible, here's how the Bible says it. The steps of the righteous are ordered of God. You realize how powerful that is to think about? That God has ordered out the steps of your life to carry you to a place that you could never get to yourself. Now, if Jesus is not your ultimate priority, then what's going to happen? You're going to step this way when some circumstance comes, and this way when some other circumstance. Listen carefully. Just because something you do has the appearance of failure, it does not mean you are a failure. What it means is that the directed steps of your journey, while you thought you were on a very clear path to get you to a particular place, it is obvious that the Lord is directing you another way. And so what happens is, instead of being totally frustrated with your incapacity to accomplish what you set out to do, instead, you trust Him that He has directed your path and He's made it straight. And what you'll discover is He probably has protected you from yourself. Because oftentimes, if we have it our way, we go at it our way and we do it our way, and it ends up to decimate our future. because we're trying to arrive at our own place instead of God's place. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure it all out yourself. But in verses 7 and 8, he says something so powerful. Look, if you would, at those verses, because this helps bring this all together. Look at what he says. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. What does he say here? This is so critical. Allow humility to be the anchor of your soul. What he's saying here is, don't you go at life thinking you've got it figured out. Don't go at it being so proud and arrogant that you miss the best of life. Listen carefully. People who puff themselves up explode in life. But those who humble themselves experience the best of life. You see, what you and I need to see is that humility has power. And here's what he's saying. You've got to experience this power. I mean, look how he says it. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Don't look at things in your own eyes. Don't get so proud that you think you... Listen carefully. When you think you understand everything, you have a tornado coming your way. Because there are so many things we don't understand, but we can keep on trusting. We keep on believing. We keep on yielding. And what does he say here? He says something to it. What? When you look at this verse, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Now, let's think about that for a second. Because what does it mean to fear the Lord? Watch this. It means to recognize the authority of Jesus. You see, we live in a day where people don't like authority. People try to run from authority. And here's what he said. You keep fearing the Lord because the authority of Jesus is what helps you learn how to trust. Because if you're dependent on your own capacity, what's going to happen to you? Your own capacity is going to cause you, watch this, your own capacity is going to cause you to process the issues of life based in your own authority. But if you trust Him, then you begin to yield and fear the Lord. And what this word fear here has to do with reverence. Has to do with reverence. And let me give you an example. We talked today about how some people have projected the day of judgment and May 21st of 2011 and the day passed. But let me tell you who really loses on that deal. Who really loses are the people who went and sneered at the folks who thought they knew the truth, made fun of Jesus, made fun of who the Lord is. Listen carefully. They did not acknowledge the authority of Jesus. Be wise enough to fear the Lord.